Bunch of Roman soldiers is what it took. We've been trying to attack him with Sadducees and Pharisees for 3 years. We should have sent the soldiers after him originally. And those that were with him who had never saw him lose a battle, who had never seen him lose an encounter, they tried to come to his defense. Peter chopped somebody's ear off. Peter, put that away. But you're about to lose. No, I'm not. No, it's going to appear on the surface like I'm about to lose, but actually I'm about to obtain the greatest victory for all of mankind. I'm telling you today, he doesn't lose. And it may look like in your association with him, in your relationship and walk with him, that you're about to lose. He never loses. Stay connected to Jesus. And in the moments where it seems like Jesus and I are about to lose. No, not to him. He's helping me. That's part of him helping me grow. I'm winning. Man, I could go on all day. Romans chapter 11. Why don't we pray right now? Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Father, we submit our vessels to you in this hour. Submit our spirits to you in this hour. We want to be used of you, Father. We desire to be vessels that you flow through. In the name of Jesus. We empty ourselves to receive. I empty myself, Father, to be a vessel that you flow through. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Romans chapter 11, verse 28. I'm going to read a few verses here, and then we're going to jump back and look at some different things. Verse 28 says, and I'm going to read in the KJV for you. I've got the New Living Translation in front of me. But as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Now, he's writing about the Jews here. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome concerning the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Jews being at odds with God because of his reaching to them, his constant reaching to them and their rejection of him. And so we're jumping in at the end of the chapter. Believe me, we're going to go back and we're going to look at all this today, I think, with the help of the Holy Ghost. But I wanted to just, because this is a very familiar portion of Scripture to us, and I think it's really, really important that we understand the context of what he's talking about when we read these things. So I'll read it again. As concerning the gospel, they, being the Jews, are enemies for your sakes. They've become the enemy of the gospel. The New Living Translation says, many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news, and this benefits you Gentiles. You can jump to verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. We quote this scripture a lot. We believe this scripture. But I don't know that we necessarily understand what this scripture really means. I hope by the help of God today that we, before we leave here, that the Holy Ghost imparts an understanding to us, that revelation comes as to what this really means. When the writer says that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, it literally means that God can't change his mind. Once he sets something into motion, once he extends something to an individual, once he reaches to an individual, and there's that impartation that comes by the power of his Spirit, he doesn't take it back. He doesn't retract it. He doesn't change his mind. Verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. He said, listen, don't go judging these guys. You're not any better than they are. There's nothing in your DNA that makes you super spiritual. And don't act like, well, look at us now, them unbelievers over there rejecting the gospel, rejecting the good news. No. Don't get up on your high horse. Don't be lifted up in pride. because you were the same way, but you have been given mercy by God through their unbelief. Verse 31. Even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. I'm going to stop reading right there, and we're going to jump back. You can go back to verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1, and we're going to go back, and we're going to look through some of this chapter that leads up to that statement in Romans 11, 29 that says, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. I was in discussion with somebody this last week, and they were bearing their soul to me and asking for direction, asking for prayer, needing the assurance of God. And as they began to talk to me, what began to kind of unfold was this moment in time that lives in their minds and in their hearts of a point where there was a prophecy spoken over their lives. There was something said to them in a service, in a moment in time that resonated with them. There was a witness in their spirit. It was spoken over their lives, and they've received it. They believe it. They walk in it. But there's the reality. So there's that piece. There's this thing that was spoken over them, but there's the reality of their daily walk. That's there for all of us, right? There's the reality of their daily failures. And the combination of their daily walk or lack thereof, or their lack of faithfulness to God, or the lack of things that they know that they're supposed to do but don't do. The scripture talks about that. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if I know what I'm supposed to be doing and I don't do it, then I'm living in sin. See, we like to use that term living in sin to talk about people who are out living in adultery and fornication and carousing and running in the clubs on Friday night and Saturday night. Jesus said, if you know what to do, if you have a specific direction, if you've read my word and you understand that I want to be in fellowship every day with you and that I desire to speak to you through my word, and you don't do those things, then you are sinning. And we all fall short of that, of those things. We all deal with that. We work through those things on a daily basis. But those things culminate and come to a point where they begin to cause us to doubt this thing over here that has transpired, or this moment in time, this promise, this prophecy that was spoken over us, this word that God gave to us. And so through that process, we somehow make this word. Because God doesn't always give us something. He may say, I'm going to use you in a mighty way. Surrender yourself to me. Or he may say, you know, I've given you a, someone comes to you and says, I've given you, the Lord's imparted you a gift of prophecy, or the Lord's imparted you a gift of knowledge. And maybe he gives you understanding to that level. But other times, there's just a word. There's just something that comes, and it's a word of faith. It's a word of knowledge, maybe about the future, and there's not a lot of clarity involved with it. It's just a seed that's planted by the Holy Ghost in us, and then you know, us and our humanity, we begin to erect what that possibly looks like. You know, maybe it's this, well maybe it's that, well maybe it looks like this, or maybe it looks like that, and if we're not careful, here's why that's dangerous. Because then we will live in pursuit of whatever it is we've made that thing to be. It may not be what God had intended it to be. And as we were discussing this, and I could sense the hurt and mixed with the hunger of I want this in my life. I want to see the fulfillment of this in my life. And I'm hungry for this. But I also know that I continue to fail God in these areas. And I continue to fall short in these other avenues. And so I'm torn in both ways. I want to continue to pursue this. And I want God to manifest this in my life. But I'm failing over here. And how can he do both? Does he have the ability to see past my failures and perform that thing which was spoken to me? And as they begin to talk and as they begin to explain some things to me, the Holy Ghost quickened my spirit. And I stopped them and I said, did you hear what you just said? You told me, you just relayed a story to me that you were in prayer the other day and the Holy Ghost prompted you to go do something, to go visit somebody, and you did it and it ended in a prayer meeting. I said, that's what that calling and word that you got from God was all about. Really? Are you serious? Yes. That's ministry. This is why I say it's so dangerous when we start trying to make something, whatever word we got, we start trying to create it. And it's our humanity. It's who we are. Instead of letting God unfold, letting God show us the next piece, the next step. If you could picture your life as a puzzle today. Anybody here do puzzles? I don't like puzzles. I don't have the patience. Puzzles and fishing, I don't do either because I don't have patience. Unless it's bass fishing. You can just throw that lure over and over and over again. And there ain't anything happened, but at least it's action. But puzzles are difficult, and it takes time to study. And as you look there, sometimes you have to step away from the table and like get your eyes like rearranged because the piece that you've been looking for was right in front of you the entire time, and it took you looking away. And sometimes our life is that way. It's this great big puzzle, and as we stare at it, we start trying to sometimes scramble and grab pieces and put them into place, and nope, that doesn't fit there. And we try multiple times, and we get frustrated. We can give up when if we would allow the Holy Ghost, He will show us what piece goes where, and it will fit perfectly. And He begins to construct the exact thing that His word intended to be done the moment it was spoke. But we get so distracted by all these things and all this stuff that happens in the in-between. So back to Romans chapter 11 here. Now, Paul is writing, we talked a little bit about this a second ago, but Paul's writing to the church in Rome about the Jews. He's writing about God's people, Israel. But there are so many parallels and connections. I see my life, I see myself so much in the word that's written here. So I want you to, as we're reading this today, I want you to let this word be applied to your life. Be applied to your situation. Now, let's jump back into chapter 10. And I want to read verse 20 and verse 21. Verse 20, chapter 10. I have in the New Living Translation here, but it says, "And later Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, 'I was found by people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. But regarding Israel,' God said, 'all day long I opened my arms to them, but they were disobedient and rebellious.'" I want you to see that picture for a moment. Because oftentimes we feel like God, the moment we fail, God rejects us. The moment we reject the call or the plan of God for our lives, He just kicks us to the curb and He says, "All right, I'll go find somebody else." But the scripture says that all day long I wait for them. My arms are open for them. I'm awaiting their return. I'm waiting for someday for them to surrender and yield themselves to me. That's His approach. So chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, I'll jump back into the King James Version for you. "I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, 'Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life.' But what saith the answer of God unto him? 'I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Do you understand what he's saying here through all of this? That he's reaching, he's constantly reaching, but he allows a blindness to come to them. He wants to show them who he is. He wants to show them what it is that his plan and desire is for them. And he spent 3.5 years on this earth showing them, trying to help them to understand who he was. And all they did was reject him and reject him and reject him and reject him to the point where he said, I'll let their eyes be blinded. If that's what you want, I'm going to wait for you to turn to me. I'm going to wait for you to cry out to me. In fact, this verse here says that I'm going to go reach for somebody else. I'm going to go find somebody else who will respond to my longing, who will respond to my reaching in hopes that I'll provoke them to jealousy. Now, boy, that's not a thing we like in today's society. Nobody likes a jealous man and nobody likes a jealous woman. We'll just leave that right there. But these are the links that God will go to reach to those that he has chosen, to reach to those whom he has called, those that he has gifted. He doesn't just cast you aside and walk away. He may allow you to fall. He may allow you to stumble. He may even desire you to get a little bit jealous of that one that he finally. Somebody's got to do the work. Come on. Yes. Wait, hold on here. That's my place. I know. But you won't do it. So I'm going to find somebody that will. Verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. I mean, Paul's saying I'm basically part of my ministry is to provoke the Jews. Anybody here, if you're still sitting here and you don't think that God cares about you, and that he doesn't have a very specific calling and purpose for each individual in the room, no matter how hard you're running today, no matter how disconnected you feel today from that place, are you sitting here still convinced that he doesn't care and that he's not still today reaching for you? He sent a minister. He saved one of their own to send them to a different nationality, a rejected nationality of people, and attempt to provoke them. This is how bad I want you. Verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? Boy, we could talk all day about that scripture. I'm looking forward to that day. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off. Now here's this. This is where it gets interesting. If some of the branches being broken off, he implies that after he's brought them to a place of blindedness, Sister Bryant. He's brought them to a place of shoving them away. And okay, if that's not what you want, he tries to bring them to jealousy. And then he sends a preacher to provoke them. And they still just won't listen. They still won't walk in the place that he has ordained for them. He breaks them off from the tree. Oh, not God. No, he breaks them off from the tree. And, I was looking throughout the Gospels this morning about what happens when a branch is broken off. And there's a lot that's said about you. If a branch doesn't bear fruit, you break it off, you cast it into the fire, and it's consumed. It's burned. Now, Paul doesn't go to that level, and he doesn't tell us what he does with the broken branches, but he just says that there's a branch that's broken off. And so if we think about this, he's using this natural analogy. Just follow me here for a moment. If you're walking through the orchard, if you're walking through the forest and you just decide to break off a limb, you generally break it off and you drop it. You cast it down. You cast it aside. And it sits there. I was out in one of my fields on Friday night, and I was walking through there, and I suddenly realized I was walking past an old fruit tree, and I looked up, and for the first time this summer, I realized that it's completely dead. There's no leaves on it. It's gone. I don't know what killed it or what happened, but it's just dead. This thing's probably 40 or 50 feet tall and probably 40, 50 feet around, old, probably hundreds of year old apple trees. Dead. It's gone. But a few years ago in the wind, something fell, a branch fell off of it, was blown off of it, broke off of it, and it just fell down. And it's just laying on the ground. It's been laying there for a couple years. And that branch has got green leaves on it. That branch is growing. I don't know how it did. I don't know if that branch, I've not picked it up to see if it's growing roots or what's going on. But that branch that was broken off and fell is starting to produce leaves, green leaves. Craziest thing I've ever seen. But when something is broken off, generally it falls on the ground and it just dies. It's just there. You walk on it, animals come by and they eat the leaves off of it because it's easy pickings. And once the leaves are gone off a branch, it's just there's nothing there. Once the leaves die and they shrivel up and the wind blows them away or people walking by knock them off, it's just a dead branch. It's ugly. There's nothing there. And he says that he literally breaks these branches off. And then he went over to a wild olive tree. And he had to break a branch off of that. And he came back and he grafted it into this tree. This is part of the provoking them to jealousy. If you're not going to produce in my kingdom, you've got a specific place, I'm telling you, Israel. You've got a specific place in his kingdom. This whole thing was built around you. But if you're not going to do your part, if you're not going to yield yourself to me and play the role that I intended you to play, then I will break you off. And I'll walk over here and I'll find myself another branch. And I'll break it off and I'll come back and I'll graft it in. It's not what I want. It's not my first choice, but my kingdom will go on. My kingdom will go on. He said, you're grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Verse 18. Boast not against the branches. Some of you here today, God grafted you in. He's grafted you into the body of Christ. I'm talking about giftings and callings today. I understand the new birth and all that, and I understand what that means, but I'm talking about the parallels of the giftings and callings of God that Paul wrote about at the end of chapter 11. He has grafted some of you in because you said yes. You sit beside every week people who say no. You sit beside and have interactions with people who say, yeah, you know, I'm not qualified. I understand, Lord, that's what you wanted me, but I just don't see myself as capable. I understand that's what you wanted me, God, but man, I haven't prayed this week, and I haven't even read my Bible in 2 weeks, and I can't even remember the last time I didn't miss a Sunday or two at church in a month. And we start beating ourselves up over all these things, and God says, but I love you. But I'm reaching to you. And so God is, there's some of you that are here that God has broken off other trees, and he has grafted you in, and you have a role in the body of Christ. And Paul has a warning to those of us. He says, don't you start boasting against these other branches that, hey, look, well, look at me. God chose me. He picked me. He plugged me in here. Oh, you better be careful. One translation says it this way. Just remember that you're the branch and not the root. This isn't your tree. Could I put it into modern day? Can I put it in the 21st century? This isn't your kingdom. He grafted you into this kingdom. This is his. Verse 19. That will say then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. But Brother Paul, didn't you see it? Did you see it? They said no. God reached for them. God was calling them. God was trying to bring them in. God wanted to use them. God preached to them every Sunday, every Wednesday for months and years on end. And they said, no, no, no. I have too many failures, too many mistakes. I'll never be that. And so did you see it, Brother Paul? He finally got tired of it. He broke them off. He threw them away. I'm in. Verse 20. Well, I love that word. Some of you get texts from me every now and then. I just respond, well. It's my favorite word, well. It can be said a million different ways. Well. 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 Paul says, well. So you're pretty proud of your grafting. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. They didn't believe that God could do in them and through them what it is he said he wanted to do. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. The only reason I'm here today, Brother Chamberlain, is because I believe that amidst, I'm talking about me here. The only reason I'm standing here holding the mic today, because I believe that amidst all my failures and all my mistakes and the decrepit man that I am in my flesh, I believe that he can still use me. Oh, don't you dare think for 1 minute that because I got the mic that I'm better than you. Or that I hold the mic, or that I've got a piece of paper hanging on my wall that says I've got a license with United Pentecostal Church International to be a minister. He called me as a teenage boy, and I've done nothing but fail and fail and fail and fail and fail and make wrong turns and make mistakes. But in his mercy, he still reaches to me. In his mercy and his grace, he still lifts me up. He picks me up when I fall. I looked at somebody a couple weeks ago across the lunch table, and I said, there is no temptation taken us, which is not common to man. If you think that somehow because I responded to the call of God that I've got a bubble around me and I walk around in spiritual bubble wrap exempt from temptation, you have lost your mind. Temptation's real. He created us flesh. What's the scripture say? That a righteous man? Somebody say that out loud. I heard somebody whisper it like they were afraid. A righteous man? That guy you think's got a spiritual bubble around him, and oh, good, you know, he doesn't deal with temptation. If he knew what I do, he'd understand why I don't respond to the call of God. No, he's a righteous man because he's fallen seven times and he's got back up and he continues to say, God, I stand here today in need of your grace, in need of your mercy. You made it new this morning when the sun rose up. Thank you, because I need some extra today. That's a righteous man. That's why he's in right standing with God, because he gets up every morning and he puts himself in right standing with God. Not because he's earned it, or because he's perfect, or God doesn't tempt him. He says, he in verse 20 was saying, be not high-minded, but fear. He's talking about the fear of the Lord. Doug, the same faith that I have to stand here and hold this mic, believing that God could use me in all my failures, I also walk in the same fear that if I go south and I start off, he'll deal with me. I'm not going to get high-minded and think, well, you know, whew, he really used me last Wednesday night. He really used me last Tuesday night. My God. Oh, no, 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 no. He'll pull that chair so fast out from behind me when I go to sit down. I walk in that same fear. Verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Don't get so heavy and high on yourself. I'm so good. I'm so great. Listen, if he broke off his chosen people, don't forget you're here replacing somebody. He's not going to break you off. You're in now. He grafted you in. When you said yes, he grafted you in. He had no intentions of pulling you out unless you get so heavy and high-minded. You start thinking yourself so great and better than everybody else. He says, I will reach over there and break you off. Take heed lest he also spare not thee. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. Two times in that verse, Paul reminds them how severe God can be. Don't forget about he's a sovereign God. He's a sovereign God. But toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Verse 23, this is where it starts getting really good. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. There's too much improper English or old English in there. Let's go read the New Living Translation. And if the people of Israel turn from their unbelief, that one in the kingdom, he says, I don't believe God can use me like that. And so God reaches for somebody. He breaks them off. They're dropped on the ground. He reaches somewhere else. He says, I've got to have this place in the kingdom filled. He breaks off a wild olive branch and he grafts it in. Jimmy, he plugs it in. But he says, if at some point along the way, they turn from their unbelief, something happens while they're lying there on the ground. A branch broken off from the tree. Someday, somehow, some way, by the power of God, by the grace of God, Sister Pat, they begin to believe, wait a minute. If God called me, he filled me with his spirit, he washed my sins away in the waters of baptism, his blood covers me. I'm tired of listening to the voice of the enemy. I'm tired of believing the lie that I'm not good enough. I'm tired of believing the lie that God wouldn't use me and I failed too much and I'm too big of a failure. I'm tired of listening to all that. At some point, he says, if they get to that point, that God has the ability to hear the cry of a broken off branch. And he is able. Walk back over. Pick it back up off the ground. And graft it back in again. Somebody should lift their hands right now. And say, Lord, I believe. I believe. I receive your word, Father. I receive your promise, Father. Forgive my unbelief, Jesus. Forgive my doubt. Forgive my unbelief. I believe, Father, and I yield myself a vessel to your spirit. Verse 24. I'm gonna put it in the New Living Translation. You by nature were a branch cut off from a wild olive tree. So if God was willing to do something contrary to nature, hear me. God was willing to do something contrary to nature. Get out of your flesh. Well, it doesn't make sense. How could God do this? And why would God? Get out of your flesh. You got to get out of your understanding. The scripture, Paul said he was willing to do something contrary to nature. How much more shall these, which be the natural branches? Living Translation says, he will be far more eager. Everybody say eager. Say more eager. Say far more eager. Far more eager to graft the original branch back into the tree where they belong. Oh no, this isn't like, oh, welcome, we're glad you're here. No, welcome home. Welcome back to the tree. This is where you were supposed to be. Welcome back to your place in the kingdom of God. All right, yes. Verse 25. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of the Gentiles comes to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved, as the scriptures say. The one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. And this is my covenant with them, that I will take away their sins. Many, this is the verses we read at the beginning, many of the people of Israel are now enemies with the good news, and this benefits you Gentiles. Yet they are still the people he loves, because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for the giftings and calling of God are without repentance. I'm never going to hear somebody read this verse again. Brother Cool, without the vision the Lord gave me of a branch that's been cut off, laying on the ground, but in a moment of faith, in a moment of desperation, saying, I believe, Lord. I believe. And him reaching back, picking them up, bringing them back and plugging them right back in to where he broke them off. I want you to pray right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hitalaraba shatororoba kiataye. Ilararama shatororoba kiataye. Ilaroromo shetialaraba kiatari alalobo kosotoye. Ilararane shotororoba kiataye. Let him graft you back in today. Let him graft you back in, and then you just follow his leading. If you get up from a prayer session, he says, go call somebody, you better call him, because that's what he's grafted you back in for. If you get up from a prayer session, he says, get in your car and drive over here and say hello to this person, then you better do it, because that's what he grafted you back in for. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Why don't we stand right now? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Itararama satoro roboki atararabahaye. Italararane isatoro robahataye. Italararane aro robosheti atararabahakataye. I'm going to open up this altar. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and talk to the Lord. If you feel like you're plugged into the kingdom exactly where you're supposed to be, I want you to come and thank him that he's grafted you in, that he's plugged you into that place and that you're in that role. If you're not where you know you're supposed to be in the kingdom today, maybe you haven't been broken off. Maybe you're still plugged in, but you know that he's reaching for you. Feel the drawing of the Holy Ghost right now like you felt it multiple times in your life. And you feel that drawing of his spirit on you. And you know you're not participating in the kingdom. You're not producing fruit. You're not producing like you're supposed to. This altar's for you today. Maybe you're in a place where you know that he's reached for years. And you've said no. You've lived in doubt and unbelief. And you know that he's broken you off. I'm challenging the Holy Ghost today to lift up your voice and cry out. And I know by the word of God that he will reach down and pick up that branch and he will graft it back into his kingdom. He will plug you back in where you belong today. From those three places, will you respond to the drawing of the Holy Ghost right now?
He always guides me through mountains and valleys. His joy is restores my soul. Mercy and goodness gives me assurance that I'll see his power.
Shall be witnesses unto me. Be the witness that he has called you to be. Come on, stand in agreement right now if you're able. And be the witness that he's called you to be. You don't question the calling, you know it's there. Be the witness Be the empowered witness that He has called you to be. Your world, your community. In the name of Jesus, stand in agreement with Him.
He always guides me through mountains and valleys. His joy is refreshing, restores my soul.
Sometimes we make this much too hard. What I mean by that is the call of God on our lives to be a light, to be salt in the earth, the daily. In the sphere of influence and beyond, but in the encounters of life, God give us a sensitivity to know and to participate in the win. I had the strangest thing happen just the other day. Of course, I'm saying it's strange. It's not strange, but it's unnatural. It was spiritual. You remember that truck I gave away to Brother Chamberlain? Then a month later, I took it back. I said, I'm not going to give that truck to you. It's got too many issues. I'll help you in another way. I took the truck back. Well, I never gave it to him. And then Brother Martin Guardado said, you want me to take it to the mechanic I got? Sure, take it. Well, he kept that thing for 2 months and didn't do anything to it. And finally I said, Martin, where's that truck at? I'm worried somebody's going to steal it. And so one day he calls me. He says, hey, I brought the truck home. I'll bring it up to the house. Brought it up to the house. And I thought, okay, so I'm going to list it again on Craigslist. It's driving better. I'm going to list it on Craigslist. And I start getting these calls. And I'm having to filter through these, you know, these scenarios. And this kid calls me from Moses Lake, says, I wrecked a truck just like that. My dad wants me to get that truck and take the motor out of my truck and put it in that truck because it was a red truck that saved my life. That was the story. All right. I'll save it for you. In the meantime, I get a call from a phone number from Las Vegas. Well, he's not in Las Vegas. He's in Yakima. But he says, I want the truck today. I'll come over with the money. I got to have it. I want it today. I'm sorry, I can't do that today. Number one, I'm out of town, but I've committed to this young kid in Moses Lake. And, you know, and in about 3 days, Moses Lake drops off, stops communicating. Whatever. I reach back to the 702 area code number guy. And then I get a call from a guy in Anacortes who's going to send his brother from Ellensburg. And he comes over at 6:30 the next morning. I said, I get up early. How early? He comes in my driveway at 6:30. I go out. We talk. He gets on his phone. And for 30 minutes, he's talking to his brother. There's kind of a little ding above the door handle. There's a scratch over by the window. And I'm standing there listening. Finally, I said, are you ready to go for a drive? And he says, no, it's not what my brother wanted. And he walks away. And in that moment, I think, there is a specific individual that you're trying to link me with. And these aren't them. I'm not going to get caught up in the details. I want to remain sensitive. Well, 702 calls me back. And I'm thinking he's probably a 17-year-old or something. Because of how he communicates. And anyway, he finally calls me back. Well, he does it 3 days in a row. He says, I'll come tomorrow. I'll get the money and I'll come tomorrow. And he doesn't. The next day he says it again. He calls and he says, man, I'm tired today. I'm so tired. I've been working all day. So I'm thinking this is a kid. Well, anyway, finally I said, listen, you drive to Selah. Call me and I'll just come to wherever you are. Because by now, I don't want him to come to the house. And my wife especially doesn't. So anyway, I get a call. I'm at 7-Eleven down in Selah. I said, that parking lot's too small. Meet me at Ray's Thriftway. So I go to Ray's Thriftway. And a man walks out of the store. He's 45 or 50 years old. And he comes up and he talks to me and he says, gets in the truck and he says, well, this looks good, looks great, looks like a good deal. And he says, I got $900 in my pocket. He said, we need to talk about price. I said, I only got one price. It's the price that was advertised, $1,300. Well, maybe we can take the truck to my house and drop it off, and then we'll go to my bank. No. You go to your bank, you get your money, go home, call me, and I'll come there. 2 hours later, he calls. I got the money. I said, you know what? Why don't we meet at Fiesta Foods parking lot? I'm not sure if I want to go to his house now. I go to Fiesta Foods. He drives in. He gets in my pickup to sit down and talk. And he says, what church do you go to? I said, well, I go to Life Church. We have a congregation out here in Sealand, some on the other side of the mountains. He said, my parents converted from catechism, Catholic, to Pentecostal. And my dad would try to sit down with me in the Bible and explain the scriptures, and I kept pushing him away. There's so much hunger. I felt in his poor soul. I gave him a Book of Acts Bible study sitting there in the parking lot, thinking I could have missed this. Right.
I almost missed this. I kept his number. He kept mine. I know there'll be a continued dialogue. I'm just saying there's people all around us, and they are hurting. They're hungry, and they just don't know what to do or where to go or who to turn to. You have the real plan of redemption. They're waiting for the connect point. Maybe it was a yard sale. Maybe it was at a gas station. Maybe it is that neighbor right across the yard. I felt the arm of the Lord reaching so strongly here today for maybe some of us who've not been fully cooperative with what he's trying to do with us. One of our greatest challenges is we think it's about us. And it's really about them. He already grafted you in. It's about them. They're there. They're in your sphere of influence. They're in your neighborhood. They're going to walk in the door at the grocery store the same time you do. God, give us a sensitivity to know and recognize the moment we have the plan of redemption. We know how the blood's applied. We understand the new birth experience. We have the keys to the kingdom. Let's stand. Father, this has been an endearing word that you have brought to us today. And a reminder of who we are and why it is that you reached for us and grafted us in. We are now lively stones. We are lively stones, alive unto God. Order the steps that we take, Lord. We'll do our best to obey and to participate and cooperate. God bless you.